This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is The Morning Run. I'm Melissa Idris with Julian Ng and Ibrahim Sani. We've got The Breakfast Grill coming up in about 20 minutes. And today we're going to focus on the marine industry. So Nazri Khalid, Honorary Secretary from the Association of Marine Industries in Malaysia, will be joining us on The Grill, talking about how the shipping industry has really been hit hard last year following the general slowdown around the world. But also the fact that Malaysia has the Malaysian Shipping Master Plan, that's kind of been under the radar, Julian.
Not that's a lot right. of people it's know that. Not announced in a way that most master plans are announced. So
this had
been foisted upon us by newspaper headlines. And when we saw that, we thought we should get to the bottom of it, not least because there are so many kinds of bailouts that are going on. And this master plan smacks of bailout. Prime Minister Najib yesterday just said that this would be the last of the bailouts of Proton because the era of Dr. Mahathir is gone, and now Proton would not be kept on a life support system by Malaysians anymore. So then we've come a full circle to this in the shipping industry. Should we bail out the shipping industry? That's the question.
If the government sees the shipping industry as one that is ultimately strategic to the country, then I guess the answer to that question would be yes. But let's delve into this topic deeper on The Breakfast Grill. Nazri Khalid, on Secretary of the Association of Marine Industries, tells us why this Malaysia Shipping Master Plan is long overdue, and we discuss that later. But first, other business news of the day. Consortium Zenith making headlines this morning because it says it has yet to receive the 100 million ringgit for the feasibility studies that it has done so far on the infrastructure projects in Penang. So this includes the 83% feasibility study done on the undersea tunnel project, which was stopped, I think, about a month ago on instruction from the Penang government.
This project has attracted plenty of controversies and criticisms on the Penang state government. One such person criticising the Penang state government and Consortium Zenith is one Datuk Juan Cheng Guan. And he apparently, according to Consortium Zenith, has been making defamatory statements, and Zenith has sued this individual for such a defamatory statements. But some of the allegations remain standing. For instance, that 100 million ringgit payment, it's still pending by the Penang government. And for a project that is worth 6.3 billion ringgit, is this feasibility study too much for that 6.3 billion project?
So I think there's some possibly no smoke without fire, right? And some trouble is probably brewing between Consortium Zenith BUCG and the Penang state government because a pending lawsuit between Zarul and Parti Cinta Malaysia Juan Cheng Guan is all about the latter accusing Consortium Zenith of pricing the services at too high a price, especially this environmental impact assessment. The Penang government has not also paid Consortium Zenith for that kind of feasibility studies being done. I guess this may stall the project. If this continues, it may stall the project.
But whatever it is, I mean, this doesn't look good for the Penang government. You have to honour the sanctity of the contract, right? If not, what else is there to convince people to do business in your state?
But what if the consortium is charging too much? That wouldn't the Penang state government have a right to stand up and protect the interests of the state?
Wouldn't you have known the price beforehand? Isn't that a contract that you walk in with eyes wide open?
So that's exactly the point, right? So we don't know right now whether there was overcharging. And it was based on a very controversial barter as well. The Penang government got this 6.3 billion infrastructure project by exchanging land that's worth only 135 million ringgit. And that seemed to have been a good deal for the Penang state government and the people of Penang.
Yet, there has been a break of ranks in the Penang state government. In fact, five PKR ADUNs have not wanted to vote in favour of the Penang government. Two DAP members also wanted to stand down. And the opposition bench in the Penang assembly also has made some allegations. One of them is that the Penang MCA wants Lim Guan Eng to explain if they know of the shareholders' changes in the company, Consortium Zenith, because he says that any shareholder change in Consortium Zenith BUCG will affect the profitability of that company in receiving that awardship of that project. So is it aware of such changes?
So clearly this isn't as simple as you haven't paid me, how much is that?
About 100 million.
100 million ringgit. It goes far beyond that. There are details within this agreement that have not been made public. And I think this, you know, it's not as simple.
It's not as straightforward as that.
There is also a conceptual debate that was going on at that point in time when the barter was taking place, because 6.3 billion is the cost of the project. But the Penang government gave this piece of land away, which is 135 million. And detractors said that the GDV coming out of the piece of land, about 1.5 hectares, is 25 billion, something like 25 billion over 10 years. And therefore, the Penang state government has lost out by giving it away. But then again, this 25 billion would include the cost of construction.
Value add.
And you don't want the Penang state government to go into the business of property development. So it's really different risks and different returns. And you really got to get to the bottom in understanding the concept of this barter.
So while all this is being debated, Julian, you were mentioning that there is a risk of cancellation. And I guess this was quoted by Zarul, because the chairman of Consortium Zenith BUCG did say that because of the stall, there is a risk of cancellation. There are no promises made by the Penang state government for compensation if the project is called off. And this is, this might throw a big spanner in the works.
So that would mean the feasibility study was all for nothing?
For naught, yeah.
Okay, for naught. Good morning. This is The Morning Run. I'm Melissa Idris with Julian Ng and Ibrahim Sani. 8:46, turning 8:47 right now, Wednesday, the 15th of June. IPIC, or Abu Dhabi's state-owned international petroleum investment company, they have asked a London court to arbitrate a dispute with 1MDB. So the submission to the London Court of International Arbitration, they allege that 1MDB and the Ministry of Finance have failed to perform their obligations under a debt restructuring agreement last June. So IPIC, or ABA, they're now claiming approximately $6.5 billion.
You know, part of the dispute that IPIC has with 1MDB is that they sent money to the wrong company. And this has been confirmed by the PAC report that we saw in April. PAC report says that 4.2 billion of questionable transactions by 1MDB were made, and PAC couldn't verify a $2.1 billion payment to ABAR Investments PJS Limited. IPIC has denied ownership of the company, ABAR Investments PJS Limited. And this would mean that, you know, did a $2.1 billion went to the wrong company.
So just because the company is named ABA Investments doesn't mean it's owned by ABA Investments.
That's right. So the question is whether they intentionally send money to the wrong company, or did they set up those wrong companies themselves, right? Because apparently they set up companies that sound like a real company's name. They set up Blackstone Asia Real Estate Partner, which is not to be mistaken with Blackstone Real Estate Partners Asia, right? Or Merrill Capital should not be confused with Merrill Lynch, Bank of America. ABA Investments and PetroSaudi International Limited are apparently not part of those legitimate parents. So is there some intention here to mislead?
Intentional misleading is that's a very good point, Julian. But I just want to know, I mean, what is Ministry of Finance's role going to be in all this? Because at the end of the day, that's what we were concerned about, right? Yeah. I believe 1MDB CEO Arul Kanda had said a few months ago that, you know, 1MDB has plenty of liquidity. I mean, 11 times, if I'm not mistaken, 11 times more to pay out whatever, interest payment that was due then.
They have repeated that this morning, actually. So 1MDB has responded. They have issued an official statement saying that 1MDB reiterates that notwithstanding the dispute with IPIC, it has strong liquidity position. But they've also said that 1MDB and its legal counsel will review the request for the arbitration once it has been served with a copy. So basically what they're trying to say is they didn't get a copy of this arbitration requisition by IPIC at the London Stock Exchange.
So the news reported it first
before they got a copy. As always, right, with 1MDB?
1MDB has a new board. And it's going to be meeting today.
Yeah, and this ties up with what you're saying, Melissa and Julian, because where is 1MDB's role in light of the Ministry of Finance? And the new board will sit for their first meeting today. It's a very small board. Just three folks will be there. Tan Sri KSP, Tan Sri Irwan Sirega will chair this board. There's also the senior private secretary to the chief secretary of the government, which is Nur Azman Ayub. And of course, Prokha CEO Kamal Ali. And the mandate of this board is to implement to approve the implementation plans for the rationalization program. And I don't know whether this board will be effective.
Well, I'm sure there'll be an amendment to the agenda to include this.
Yeah, I don't know. This is like a monster that refuses to die down. And I no doubt this will have some impact on where the ringgit is going, where our stock market is going, because it's all about confidence. We thought that after last year, the saga would die down. But still, I mean, if you don't pay someone, imagine going to dinner, right, and eating the entire roast chicken in a fancy restaurant and saying that you've paid the restaurant, but the restaurant did not receive the money, but the roast chicken is in your tummy. So... You know, what's happening
there? The restaurant that sounds similar, perhaps. I don't mean to make light of the situation, but it is the White Walker that won't die.
Oh, no spoilers.
Okay. No spoilers. All right.
What would be the Valerian steel for 1MDB? That is the big question.
Oh, okay. The metaphor has run its course for me.
So.
8.51 right now. Proton making headlines as well, because 300 million ringgit of the total 1.5 billion ringgit of soft loan has been disbursed to Proton. The remaining sum will be released in stages, this according to the Ministry of Finance. So they reckon that first Proton will pay off all the debtors, like the vendors as such, whereas the Ministry of Finance reiterated once again that this loan is not a bailout, but to help rejuvenate
Just
Proton.
Just going back to the White Walkers, right? What gives White Walkers life? What is that factor?
Why can find that in episode 6.
Please, no spoilers. I'm just thinking about Proton, you know.
Yeah, what gives Proton life, right?
Maybe 1.6 billion, 1.5 billion, that would give it life.
Oh, is Proton a zombie? Why do we keep throwing money at zombies?
Yeah.
And it relates to my breakfast grill with the Shipping Association as well. I mean, do we really need to continue bailing out such industries when they are effectively zombies? And are they zombies? That's the question.
You know, finding the irony inside our statements, obligatory statements, is quite interesting. Just last night, our Prime Minister Najib says that the Proton's golden era will be restored without Dr. Mahathir. And he says that Tun Mahathir's political influence and interference has now come to an end. However, after reading this statement, I'm just trying to figure out, because this statement is being given by Najib, who is also a politician and who's also influencing Proton. So, you know, the political influence is still there. Except that it's not just Mahathir.
If you want to cut off the influence, just don't have anything to do with it.
Okay. Well, okay. So Proton announced the release of a new Proton Perdana yesterday, and it has made the front pages of the Malaysian Reserve, the Malay Mail, NS Utusan, as well as Star Biz. Clearly, people are touting that this new release is going to be a game changer, that this is going to be the pivotal point for Proton. I want to know why that is. I mean, how exactly do they see this as a game changer for Proton? It's a new release, granted. They are coming back into the D segment of the market. But what will sustain a recovery in Proton?
Car companies issue new cars all the time. Yeah, I mean,
it's not always a game changer.
And, you know, going to Cuba, going to selling cars in Chile would not change your fortunes. You got to have capacities of, 5 million, 10 million cars to make the car business successful. The Koreans have done it very well. I think they started, they had some head start from Malaysia, but I guess it's their governance methods. They have done very well as far as that is concerned. And now, today we come to Proton. It seems to be a burden for the nation.
It is. And, you know, speaking about what this game changer will be, I'm not too sure myself, because the question whether or not this car is good or bad is, of course, debatable. debatable. But what is not debatable is that the brand equity and the brand association of Proton is not as stellar as, say, the Japanese company.
And yet there is a difference in sentiments between Proton and Malaysia Airlines.
Right? I agree.
People want to kind of save Malaysia Airlines.
Mm. Yeah.
Well,
maybe Christoph Müller should go to Proton.
Why not?
Okay, so
he has recovered from his personal issues.
But you know the link between Proton and Malaysia Airlines. Idris Jalla was at Malaysia Airlines in 2005. He and his management team there to do the turnaround for Malaysia Airlines. And now he's heading the Proton turnaround team as well. Whether he can work the magic that he once did in Malaysia Airlines, I don't know about whether that could be considered a success.
Yeah, and it's not just Idris Jalla, it's also Pemandu as well. Can Pemandu drive the success story of Proton?
My personal opinion is that back in 2005-2006, I do think that Idris Jalla and his team were successful in terms of cutting costs, but I think what they failed to do was really change the culture and the mentality in Malaysia Airlines. Can they do that in Proton? Is a big question.
Well, I think that MAS should not be at the same level of Proton, because MAS, after all, is government-owned, and Proton is not. Proton is right now owned by DRB Highcom. So why should the government spend so much effort in trying to, busy themselves with Proton and trying to turn around Proton? This is under DRB Highcom, which is supposed to be a commercially viable private entity. So they should pay the right person to come in, and or they should go towards some kind of a solution, like merging with somebody else and turn that around.
There's also a link between this story with the previous one where Tan Sri Irwan Siriga is there. And Tan Sri Irwan Siriga is, of course, overseeing the Proton kind of recovery. And there is a new management in place. The brother of Tan Sri Syed Hamid Alba is not the chairman of Proton, Datuk Sri Syed Faisal Alba. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Syed Faisal is a game changer in Proton. So another game changer that has been mentioned by many of these press is Fuad Kanali. So yeah.
He's a new guy, right?
He's a new CEO. He's
in the scheme of everything, where is Proton in the level of priority? We got poor education quality. We got security problem. Malaysian drivers are bad, right? The road accidents. Where does Proton come in all this?
Probably lower ranking than we would want to admit.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.